Here we go then.
Welcome to Beyond Recruitment Podcast. This is our anniversary special, which will be our first airing of the podcast. It's a place for thought leaders in our industry to share their experiences, stories, opinions on what recruitment looks like in the future. Today, for our anniversary special, I'm going to be interviewed by a friend, colleague, associate, somebody that supports Be Recruitment and our cause, and everything in between. He's going to interview me for the first one, which is going to be good fun. So, welcome to Kev Bagnall.
Hello, sir.
Fellow Blues fan for our sins. And as I say, I think I gave you a pretty good intro there, didn't I?
It's good, right? Yeah, yeah. Legend could have been popped in there, but let's move swiftly on.
That suit jacket's getting its money worth, isn't it?
It really is getting it. Yeah, it was a good investment. It hides my mid-40s penchants.
This from a man who has just told me he's making his Sunday morning football career come back next season at 43.
That's not contracts. Yeah, that's not contracts.
Oh, my days. Yeah. What are you doing to yourself? Yeah. Get into cricket and golf.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for asking me on.
No problem.
We've come a long way since the Best Connection days.
We have. In different ways. I'm not sure whether it's all good, but yeah, we've come a long way, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I've known you now for probably 20 odd years.
I would say, yeah. It's got to be 20, isn't it?
And I think recruitment was in your blood, and you've either got it or you haven't got it. And I think even then, back then, I think you had, we used to speak in detail, and you had aspirations of doing things big and better and being the best. And I just want to say happy anniversary. It's I'm
007, that could have been, couldn't it, Ollie? Why don't you get a 007 with that? Come on. So
I just want to start off by just delving in, and I obviously know a lot about you. I think it'd be interesting for the viewers and the listeners to know about your journey. So tell me, what inspired you? What made you think you could do it and do it for yourself and not get others paid? Let's be honest.
True.
As a consultant, you could be turn up for work, do your job, go home, maybe on call sometimes. With running a business, it's a different kettle of fish. And tell us about getting into it and maybe some of the problems and rewards of it.
Yeah, 7 years, mate, long time. But it goes way back to before that. Way, way back. You're probably right. 20 years, I reckon, I've known you now, Kev. Back in the old Best Connection Tamworth days, where you used to come in and do the driving plan, try and get a bit of a push going for Birmingham back in them days. Just trying to tap into my mindset back then. Probably wasn't that ambitious. I think the ambition came probably 8, 9, 10 years after that, when I built a bit of confidence in my own ability and got to build some good relationships and thought, I think they'd come along with me, and some experiences, good, bad and indifferent in between, really. I would say I probably had a real long learning curve, which I don't think people give themselves these days. I think the kids now want bang. I've done my apprenticeship a year, two, three, five, whatever. Life's a long time. Yeah, life is a long time. Yeah, we can go into the reasons for instant gratification, of course, but probably pumped by social media. But in terms of me and that, obviously all that was sort of like, you just had work to focus on. Did my apprenticeship, my time served, all that sort of stuff. Really sort of give it the grind. Was a bit of the office joke boy, I suppose, as well. You know, probably didn't take it that seriously to start with, and it was just, it provided enough money for me to pay rent, to then go on to pay a mortgage, to then, you know, supplement a lifestyle, going out, holidays, different bits and bobs and all that sort of stuff. It was probably when I got married and then going the subsequent years after that where I thought to myself, am I in this or am I not? I've looked into other careers. It was always going to be something sales based, field sales. I looked into selling products, things like food, fast moving consumable goods, you know. That was before that. I've missed that period. We've done that in another podcast.
Yeah.
B2B business podcast.
Yeah.
For the viewers. I reckon probably 12 years ago is when I sort of thought, I'm in this. Maybe not for the rest of my life, but I'm certainly in the thick of it now. It's provided me with a lifestyle beyond anything that I can go out and get somewhere else. I've got to do it. I was operating at a real strong level at this point, was losing all the tags of office clown, this, that and the other. Still had some issues around admin, which I've still got today, bloody hell. And all that sort of stuff. And then really sort of got into 2014-15, decided to make the big leap to leave Best Connection. Did a couple of years with a really small business, learned all the back office bits, the relationships you need to build with accountants and factoring companies and banks, and God, the list's endless, really. So I learned that, still had all my clients in my back pocket that I knew I could, that I knew could essentially get me 20, 30 temps out that I'd go, that pays for a lifestyle and gives me a bit of money to live. And I knew I had that as a grounding. I then thought to myself, okay, I want a bit more than that. I'd like to be able to create a bit of a business. And I put the time and effort into to doing that. And Bee Recruitment wasn't just like an overnight bang. 2 weeks later, we were up and running. Flashing. I know that some people do that and have gone on to do really, really well. But we put a lot of thought into it over a long period of time. It was probably 2 years in the making, serving my apprenticeship business-wise, knowledge-wise, with another business. And then probably another 6 months before when I made... In fact, I can tell you, it was November 2017 when I got a call that changed my life. From my business partner, who's still a business partner today, to say, you know, when you said in the pub the other week, if I give you 30 grand, would you start up? He says, I've been thinking about that. Now, that was probably 4 points deep into a conversation on a Friday night.
The best kind of conversations.
Yeah, yeah. And he rang me up one random Thursday, November 2017, and I was like, bloody hell. He said, would you be interested? He said, I'd love to back you. He says, I believe in you. He was a client, still is a client to this day. And from that moment, I was like, right, I'm doing this. Not one second of doubt in my mind. It was like, bang, walked into a private office. By the time I'd walked out that private office, in my own mind, I was a business owner. But it didn't start until, well, now, actually, July 2018, which is why we're doing the anniversary episode today. Yeah. 21st of July 2018, we put our first temp out and got the heartache, the good, the bad and the indifferent since, mate.
Well, you touched upon it then, so obviously it's testament to you and the way you were servicing, and you touched upon it just that I think it's fast forwarding to what you've got today at Bee Recruitment. You invest in your staff heavily after I've worked with you over the past couple of years, and you're making the conscious decision, and your staff are making the conscious decision, that it's not just a job, it's a career. I think you touched upon that, and I think that comes from you. But for that guy and your business partner to believe in you, it's testament to you that you still had the joke and the laugh and stuff like that. And I imagine in a pub, it's bits of in and out, and it's like, okay. But to put that faith in you is a huge step, particularly for this guy who's investing money in you. But and again, knowing that you'll be okay. People buy people, don't they? So, you know, recruitment is like that. If you know that you like dealing with someone, obviously when we were in recruitment, you just speak on a level to people, and the things that we've been doing with your videos lately, you're not selling the dream to anyone. You're saying, this is exactly what the job is, this is what it is, and you're just straight. You've got to have a certain straightness to it in recruitment, otherwise you're setting yourself up for a fall.
And I think so.
That's a testament to you being just a straight, honest guy.
I think so, Matt. Right the way through to our... I tried to, probably wrongly, I've tried to run the business with just integrity in terms of our suppliers. You know, our suppliers are, a lot of them are the same as when we started thingy. I mean, look at yourself. I got involved with you probably more than a couple of years. You know, I'd say probably more 5-6 years when we started doing photos
got on your feet, websites, and this,
that and the other. We've stuck with you. We've stuck with our accountant, our bloody factoring company, everybody in between we've stuck with, and we've really sort of like used those for a bit of, I don't know, a bit of cash in the bank maybe to sort of say, look, we'll stick with you, you stick with us type thing. And we go through those times, and I've tried to get our clients to buy into the same philosophy. We're here for you when it's good, bad and indifferent. It's tough out there at the moment. It really is tough out there at the moment. And I think for the benefit of the recruiters watching this, you know, I don't mind admitting, it's really challenging. We're getting by. We've got a great business, good clients, good staff, great offices and everything in between. But it's really challenging. And I've tried to make our clients buy into, not me, our model, what we do. And we're here for you, good, bad and indifferent. And part of that is absolutely looking after the staff and making sure they're invested and they feel valued, I suppose.
Yeah. So moving forward then, that brings me nicely onto the podcast. Tell me about what your goal, your aims and goals for the Beyond Recruitment podcast is.
The aims and the goals, in short, the aims and the goals are to get thought leaders on to share their experiences, to talk to us a little bit about their thoughts on the future of recruitment, hence Beyond Recruitment. That's the really, really short narrative around what we're trying to achieve on a medium to long term basis. We've got some really exciting things going on, Kev. So we've got obviously this morning we've recorded our first official episode, if you like, as you know, you've been around that. We've got 6 or 7 people lined up between now and the end of 2025 to record, not necessarily air. We've been working on this project for 6 months, maybe a bit more. We've paid for some help marketing wise. We've obviously got yourself involved to get us off the ground, put us in the right direction. Bit of a process for this, that and the other, which is involved behind all these things. But the goal is really to get some thought leaders on, share their experiences, and for our recruitment partners, either clients which are in HR, production, logistics, driving, is to, when we get the individual guests on out of different sectors, I'd like to be able to get a feel over to the people watching of what their market's doing, what's going on in their market, some of the key people in their market and where they think the areas for improvement are or whatever. From a recruitment point of view, Beyond Recruitment, from the recruitment point of view, you know, we were saying off air, weren't we? It's challenging out there at the minute. 2025, probably the hardest year that's ever been, specifically in our space. And it's okay that it's like that. It's fine that it's like that. But people in our industry, driving, industrial, logistics, supply chain, automotive, e-commerce, whatever you want to call it. If there's anybody absolutely smashing it out there at the moment, I'd love to know what they're doing, because it's difficult. We're in a real transition with loads of things that are going on around AI and stuff, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a bit. But there's lots of things happening in the world that are outside of our control, and it's challenging, and it's giving and offering a bit of reassurance to recruiters, professionals, people that pay a living and have done and intend to pay a living for the next 5-10 years out of the industry. It's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. It is going to be all right, and things will pick back up, and if you're having the right conversations and whatnot. So it's trying to offer a bit of reassurance and give them guys a flavour of, right, what do I need to be doing now to be ahead of the curve in 12 months time, 2 years time, 5 years time, when things like AI and all that sort of stuff really, really kick in. Because everybody's sort of playing with it at the minute. Like, they're dipping the toe into it. They're sort of having a bit of this and a bit of ChatGPT and a bit of whatever and loads of different things. But there's going to be something that comes to the fore. Maybe ChatGPT, something like that is going to come to the fore to really, like, everybody's going to be using it like a WhatsApp or a Facebook or a, you know, and it'll be the main go-to. for AI, but it's offering stuff back, it's getting thought leaders in, it's giving different audience members different things at different times within our sector.
So what I've found over the past 12 to 18 months, and what you'll find with doing it, and what you may have found already doing a couple that you've done, is that it's sometimes therapy as well to talk about what you have done or your journey. Because you never really speak in a pub and go, this is what I've been doing, this is where we started. This, and I think that's what you'll find for the benefit of the client as well, is that they can then reflect on talking about it in informally with you, and they can then share that out far and wide to their clients to show what they do without having to put a PowerPoint presentation. So I was on this podcast and I've explained on this that we manufacture in sheet metal, or we do this and we do that, and they can use it as a selling tool for their clients.
These thought leaders can do all that, and we've got all sorts of different channels to get this out on, specifically being Spotify, Amazon Music, our own platforms on LinkedIn. What else we got on?
Instagram, TikTok.
Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram. There's everything.
Using the tools.
We're the using new tools, all the tools. And if we can chop stuff up into 20 to 30 second bite-sized pieces for our thought leader to come on the other side and go, I've spoke about that in a podcast with a recruitment company, or in a recruitment conversation, bang. Send it on. They can use it within their own business to say, this is a piece of work that I've done, and you know, all that sort of stuff, in terms of trying to push their own role within their own business, or promote personal brand or whatnot. But just going back to what you said there, something flashed up when you said there about experiences and this, that and the other. So essentially, we're 7 years old today, hence the birthday party, the happy birthday, the 07, the balloons, the cake. We're 7 years old, and do you know what? I was just thinking about my own thing, so I'm quite photographic. So if somebody could have taken a picture from behind the cameras there of this setting and presented it to me 7 years ago, I'd be like, wow. I don't know what's gone on in between, but the fact that we've made it to 7 years in a tight space, with some really good recruiters.
In a wonderful space as well.
That's it.
My drive in today was beautiful.
Was it?
It was beautiful.
Because
it was
the countryside.
It was a pleasure, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, just to get to this point, regardless of what happens in the future, it's a massive achievement. And as I say, 7 years, it's not a short period of time, mate. God, there's been more challenging times than there's been positive, if I'm being completely honest
still
with you.
Fresh face, though, son.
Oh, thanks. Don't feel it. It's the long beard and the cut on my face from Theo. Look at that. Pizza Express, that one.
Bullying, yeah.
I haven't been in a fight. That's a three-year-old. But just to get that picture, bang, hand it back to me in 2018, go, that's where you'll be in 7 years, son. Don't worry. Everything else will take care of itself. I'd be very proud at that moment to go, that's where I'm going to be in 7 years. God knows where, 5, 7, 10, 12, 14 years down the line. I've got aspirations, I'm 43, and things that I want to achieve. But where we've got this business to in 7 years, the people that have, and everybody's contributed, whether it be somebody that worked with us for 3 months or 6 months or 2 years or whatever, there's been some great experiences with people that have gone and left the business in a real positive light or whatever, and everything in between. But everybody who's worked for our business, or clients that have used us or whatever, everybody's sort of been part of that journey. And just to look back at that has been, well, it's quite emotional, to be honest. It's quite emotional. And it's very, when you're in your darkest moments and it's real tough, it's something that you can real sort of like rest upon and go, do you know what? You know, we've really achieved something there. We've really achieved.
Reflect back on when you were first starting out in comparison to worrying whether you could get the clients and the clients would come with you. Is this now, is, I assume, at the time, that was your hardest point, and then in the middle, that's your hardest point, and then you'll continue having harder points, and then look back and think, yeah, well, we got through it. So that I think that inspires you to carry on, really, doesn't it? You touched upon AI just, there's a little bit of a worry at the moment that I am seeing is that it, with ChatGPT particularly, it's very apparent that people are using ChatGPT. If you can put as much detail into it, I think it's very good, but I think you've then got a, it loves an emoji, ChatGPT, you probably noticed, but you need to go and refine it, otherwise it's looking very repetitive at the moment. Do you, what, how do you feel about AI, and how do you feel, do you think it could ever be a AI run recruitment company?
I think we're all still in our space. The big boys have probably got massive plans. We're not, we don't intend to be. We're a white glove service, polished, local, great knowledge, sort of like business that fits for a lot of people. We don't fit for others, and we do fit for a lot. We know our space, we know our market, and we're really strong. I'm not saying that we don't need it by any stretch, but the big boys have probably got plans two, three, what it's going to look like in 2, 4, 6 years, whatever.
Do you think it still needs the personal touch?
I'm not sure that we will need the tech in place in terms of the type of clients that we deal with and who's there. And, you know, new business is always going to be a challenge in whatever way. I still think there's old methods that work. In terms of AI, if you'd have asked me that question 3 months ago or 6 months ago, I'd have been like, you know, go away. I'm just trying to look after my customers and do all this. And I've watched loads of podcasts and loads of like sort of individual different bits and bobs that have educated me over that period of time, and it's coming, whether we like it or not, it is coming. How we embrace it and to what level that we embrace it, I think we can drip feed it into a business of our size. I don't think it's too much of a thing. But I heard somebody talking on a podcast a little while ago saying that recruiters in 3-5 years time, they'll still be around, there'll still be as many vacancies for recruiters to fill vacancies, because you're still going to need those specific touch points with your clients and your candidates and this, that and the other. However, it's the recruiters that are going to embrace AI and use it to their benefit which are still going to be around and thriving. So people like me, you know, that have grown up in a different environment, and people in a similar age range to me with a similar amount of experience, we've got to get on board with certain things, because the old 100 phone calls a day and speaking to your clients and getting to know their missus's name and dog's name and stuff, it's all still relevant, but there'll be certain things that take weaker recruiters past me or people who have been doing it a long time, that will take them past them just because they'll be bypassing certain steps. So you, there's going to be things that come in that have got to be bought in, but we're very fortunate that we're not looking to be a 200 million turnover business. We're looking to be small and perfectly formed in our space and offer a great rounded service, which we do.
Is it making us feel old, son?
I feel like the last 2 years have aged me a bit more, yeah. Yeah, we're only young, though, in the grand scheme of things. You know, we've got a lot of road ahead of us, me and you, in our careers. Okay, albeit different spaces. And you're probably geared up a bit better in your industry a little bit, because it's something that just goes hand in hand with photography and tech and whatnot. But, like, there's a lot of road ahead for us. So, you know, I'd like to think about, I've thought about diversifying my career over the next 5 to 10 years and going into different sectors and stuff. But I wouldn't, with all due respect, if you're a bin man, AI is going to affect that at some point. You know, if you're emptying my bins at home, at some point, AI is going to have an effect on that. Whatever sector, industry you're in, at some point, AI is going to start nibbling into that sector and industry and whatever. I can't think of an industry that's not. Even if you're baking cakes at home, the way you're processing your transactions and the way you're marketing and whatever, it's going to affect. So it's going to kick in. So whatever industry me and you decide to work in 5-10 years time, I'll probably still be in recruitment. But if I'm not, it's going to have a bearing on me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to have a bearing on me.
And I think you're good at recruiting people for the right jobs as well. So, for example, Ollie coming in and doing this, he's got an idea of it, and he's albeit still learning, and I'm still learning. I've been doing 15 years now. You're still learning in recruitment. You have got a good eye for bringing people in to do that job, and I think that's a key thing that someone who was close to you at the time once said to me. You know what you want, so if it needs to be done, it needs to be done, and I think you're good with making decisions for the best to forward the company.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, if you need someone to bring someone else in to be a computer tech and it's going that way, then you've got the knowledge to bring that in, thinking, all right, well, it's probably more time and effort to train someone up. We'll bring someone in who's going to add value to the business, and I think that's what you've been good at the past 7 years.
I like
seven
to think
years.
So, Matt. I think it's been... I've made some bad decisions, like, not intentionally, obviously, but, like, we've made some... As a team, as a management team, as an individual, whatever, you know, we've made, and I think that's part of the journey as well. It really is part of the journey. You have to make those bad decisions to know what a good decision feels like, almost. But we're recruiters, and recruiting internally into our space is not easy. People would think that from the outside, well, you're a recruiter. How can you not recruit the right people into your own bloody business? But it's not always that way. At the end of the day, we're bringing salespeople into our business. If you're a good salesperson and you can't interview well, what are you doing?
On the flip side,
yeah,
someone
exactly.
can interview super well and they get the feet under the table,
exactly.
and you're like, okay, you've got to live and die by your sword a little bit.
But yeah, we do try, and we have had a good success rate. You know, we've definitely got the best team we've ever had right now in the business. And average tenure, maybe 4 years across the board. Myself, obviously, since day dot, 7 years. Lisa, 6. Annette, 5. Ryan, 3. Ben coming up, 2. You know, everybody's really starting to get chalk some numbers up against their names now. And I think that's a real good foundation for your clients, a bit of reassurance and all those things. But yeah, we've recruited some good people. And as I say, you know, I sit here right now, on the anniversary of our 7 years, thinking, I do genuinely have. I remember the 5 year anniversary. Remember the 5 year anniversary? Mm. Only 2 years ago.
Mm.
Business is different now, but not in a bad way. Mm. Not in a bad way at all. We know who we are, and we know what we can achieve, and what we want to achieve. And it's just flown. It's just flown. The last 2 years have absolutely gone by like that.
Mm.
Part of having a 3-year-old, I think, mate, you know.
And not, yeah, I mean, there were hard times, and you talk about hard times, just touching upon, we don't want to go too much into it, but the COVID times were worrying times for everyone, weren't they?
God, yeah.
Did you learn anything from those times, or did you just kind of try and ride it out? And decision making was big back then. Tell me a little bit about
COVID was the best and worst time. It was the worst time because we were a new business. We'd always protected our resource by knowing that we need to be here this time next month, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. We know that, and that's still how we treat the business now. There's, you know, protection, and, you know, I'm all right with numbers, I like to think, and that's one of my strong points. And I think any owner, operator, or CEO, MD, whatever you want to call me, needs to be that. So we were pretty good with our numbers. The furlough scheme really helped us. But prior to all that, when the world was just collapsing around, I think I said it on your podcast, you know, we went down to like 12 temps from 100-ish, and still the same costs, still had to bring people in. And
the bills are still the same, aren't they?
No changes to all that. And then obviously we got the opportunity to furlough people, which we did. And I had a table exactly the same as this. And I used to get my cards on there in the morning, sit watching Sky News in front of me. And I used to tuck myself under, didn't have a working desk at home, couldn't work from the office. I had Lisa doing the payroll with a girl called Mel, my business partner at the time, just supporting wherever he needed to. And I was in there, old school, blue cards, orange cards, just doing the do. And I landed a couple of decent contracts. I got an opportunity with somebody local to us here in Leicestershire, which making the masks for B&Q or something like that. And they were traditionally a 2 or 3 EUs a day. We've probably got a couple of temps in there today. I had 45 temps off me for about 6 weeks, mate. and they didn't ask me to look at my margins. I was still doing the same margin. It wasn't like, we've got a project on, can you give us a price? They just ordered temps. And it was like, great, this is really going to help us out. So that sort of got us back to a level footing of going, all right. And then by the time that contract started to sort of like level off and just start to tail off a bit, all right, we only need 10 on each shift now for the next 4 weeks, and then we're going to go to nothing. Everything else was coming back to life. And we were back up to 100 temps again within 3 months. So and then the other side of that, then you're like bringing everybody back in the office, setting these rules, the 2 meters, the lines on the floor, the hand washes, the this, that and the other, the screens at reception that nobody ever paid any notice of. And then we kicked on again then. And it was absolutely brilliant for a couple of years. And that's what gave us the opportunity with certain hires that we made into the business then and different bits and bobs to really kick on, to really become a local supplier of good labour. So yeah, it was tough. And you know what, Kev, right? Again, without like playing the old woe is me, smallest violin in the world, there's been nights where I wouldn't go as far as to say cried myself to sleep, but there's been loads of sleepless nights, genuine sleepless nights. There's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of waking up at 2-3 in the morning thinking about something completely random, work related, and just worrying about it. You can't do anything about it, you know. What if this happens? What if that? What if that? What if this? What if that? Sometimes that's where you earn your money, and that's where I've, you know, got paid sometimes, not being in the office at 8 o'clock on the phones every day. You know, fortunately we've got some good people that do that, but like all that stuff in between, where it's like, you know, I've got to try and work something out here. You've got to have a fight. You've got to have the fight for this. You've got to have the fight for being a business owner. If you want to go and get 20 or 30 temps out and earn more money than you've ever earned in your entire life, there's a space and an opportunity for somebody to do that, and it's great. And if you go from the mindset of having a good job, earning 30, 40, 50k a year, into I've now got 30 temps out and doubling your money, and having it all under control, there's a lifestyle business out there for people. Plenty of opportunities for people like that. We never wanted to do that. We wanted to go and become a proper business in our own right, and we fortunately enough look like we've managed to do that for now. But the pain in between is like nothing you'll ever experience. The frustration and the...
Whereas if you're back in the day, you're a consultant, you come in at 8 o'clock, do your calls and you go home, and that's it, isn't it? So you
do your best, don't you? You give your bit.
Push there.
Might have the off day, you know. You
come in on go for some days. Even as a director, I'd imagine as well, though, that you have to be like, okay. And again, going back to this, and going back to some of the stuff you do, and the opening of this office, for example, when you got all your clients down, stuff like that. You don't need to do that, do you?
Mm.
You don't. But you're like, it'll be nice to welcome people here. It's just thinking ahead and trying to be one step ahead.
We've always tried to offer our clients something a little bit different.
Mm.
Recently, we've been challenged by some of our clients, 99% of them in the right way, on rates or commercials, or can we try and do something a little bit different? You know, can we this, that and the other? Happy with our service, nothing we've done service-wise. But just, you know, almost saying we're struggling a bit. Can you help us out with certain things? And as I say, 99% handled and asked in the right way. And we've supported them through that process. And it's been done with logic and respect from both parties. And we want to work on a partnership with people. And we've done those things. And we've done everything we can, and they've understood the other side of it, going, hang on, leave a bit in for yourself. We need to, you know, you need to make sure you're here to see another day as well. Doesn't work with everybody. Hasn't worked with everybody, unfortunately. Again, some sleepless nights over things like that as well. But we've always tried to do something different for our clients, mate. Bringing people in, barbecues.
Charity games.
Charity football matches. Mm. Different things. And you know what, I don't know whether to take it as it's definitely not an insult, but is it a compliment, or is it's frustrating sometimes when you see other recruiters doing the same exact same thing as yourself, as in we had the idea behind that and they now just have templated it and gone on. I suppose you've got to look at it and go, you've got to, haven't you? Because you can't get hung up on stuff like that. No. But there is things that you think, okay, we were the first ones to do that. And I wasn't, I've never reinvented the wheel with marketing and how we engage with our clients and stuff. But I think a lot of recruiters just got, especially post-COVID, just got really lazy and just got, well, the work's coming in. Don't need to look after them. Don't need to. Even when the good times are rolling, we were looking after people. We weren't just going cash in. And a lot of those people are sticking around now because they felt the value then. Wow, what a journey. What a journey so far. Mm. 7 years, mate.
What's in store? What do you see for the next, for B Recruitment? What do you see for the next 12 months, the next 5 years, the next 7 years?
Mm.
What's the vision?
We've got...
Prestige worldwide.
What we're doing is we've released some company core values and values probably 3 months ago. We released that to the team. Released a bit of a 5-year plan as well, which I'll touch upon. Obviously, some of it's unsensitive, but there's some sensitive stuff in there that I won't go into. But there's a 5-year plan, not necessarily an exit plan or anything like that, but just, you know, this is where we see ourselves in the market with what we're looking to achieve over the next 5 years. And it's not all about growth. It'll be growth through dialing into certain areas and projects and growing our network and all that great stuff. You know, we want to get to 10 million. We're at 7 million at the moment. We're dotting around. We have been for a few years now, in and around 6-7 million. We've got there and hung around that number rather than accelerated from that number with where the market's been. And we're in a recession.
I'd assume that if you'd done 7 million 1 year, and then you went back down to 2 million, and then you've 6 or 7 million, you can't then plan year on year to be like, okay, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So I think that is the plateau helpful, as opposed to even getting to 10 million and then coming back down to 4 million? That
we did quickly over the 7 years. I'm pretty strong with this sort of stuff. So I think we did 2018 into 19, so I'll just say 2018. We did 1.1, 2019, 2.1, 2020, COVID, no revenue at all, basically, for 6 weeks. Still did 2.2, so we grew. Then we did 4.4, 2021. 2022, we did 7. 2023, we did 7.1. 2024, we did 7. So we've gone sort of like, and then we've hung around, and we'll be in and around that again this year. We've grinded to get there though, because we've got to think of the bridge of the gap as well, is that the minimum wage has gone up. Okay, so it's eaten into things, the profit margins and bits and bobs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you can't make a profit out of turning over 6.5-7 million quid, you're probably not in the right industry. Mm. So we're, in terms of that, good. But we're just realistic. I mean, the minimum wage alone could help us get to nearly 10 million over the next 5 years if we just work with the clients that we've got. Clients come and go. That's just the nature of the beast. I've certainly realised that over the last 12 months. Clients come and go. So it's, you know, the vision will be, and the plan for the next 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, is generate loads of new business, have fun, yeah. We've released our values, so they are based around respect, integrity, passion, accountability, and partnership. So those 5 core values, which each director owns one of those. So release those to the team. You know, we've done some good work on presenting to the team where we get to. We'd like to maybe go into the perms market, but it's just... It's so challenging at the moment, Kev, to just hold on to what you've got. Of course, you have to plan for the future and stuff, but just ring-fencing what you've got, because everyone's trying to get into it.
Same as my industry. Sometimes it's a race to the bottom, isn't it? Mm. And I assume there's some clients that you probably think, it's not even worth... You've canvassed them, and you've spoke to them, you've been down for visits, and it's just price, price, price. And sometimes... I have it all the time. Someone inquire, and you just like, oh, these can do it at that price. You're like, okay,
Come back.
This is my price. If there's any problems, which at certain prices there may or may not be, come back to us and we can have a chat again. But sometimes it's a race to the bottom, and people are very, especially at this time, it's money orientated, and people are looking at budgets, but it's not necessarily how cheap something is.
I was talking to a rector this morning, and he was saying, he was telling me about your business. So, you know, our mantra has been offer a white glove service. So white glove service, white glove service, white glove service. So those who follow our bee recruitment page on LinkedIn will know that we go after a white glove service. So white glove service, probably 10-15 years ago at Best Connection, would have been before we're even really interested in them. They've got to have 30 temps a day. If they want us to start going down to site, they need to have that. And it was all, it was like, felt like really like, I thought to myself, God, they're spending like 2 million quid a year with you, and they never, can't even see you. I'm sure it's very different now with the market, but like, we want to offer that white glove service, whether they've got 5 temps in, 10, 20. But our competitors, and I appreciate everybody's got to earn a living, are happy to go in and do it for nothing, literally, just buy the turnover and plug it into their whatever. How they do it, I don't know, but they're prepared to do those things. And obviously, clients are interested in, wow, you can save me X, Y, and Z. Why wouldn't they be? That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would say, you get what you pay for, exactly. And I've never heard that phrase before. Well, I've heard it, but I've never used it. A race to the bottom is absolutely... it's absolutely, and the industry at the moment, unless it's careful, and don't get me wrong, this is never going to happen, but unless the business leaders get round a table and go, right, we're not going to go below this, that and the other, and we're going to make a bit of a stance as an industry to say this is what it is, do we all agree, yes, can we sign an affidavit to say this is thingy, it's never going to happen. But at the moment, that's sort of the direction it's going, because people are a bit desperate. And they've got to pay bills, and I totally get that. But it's just, it's devaluing everything we do. Because let's be honest, recruiters, we've got a bit of a bad name for whatever reason, for lifestyle,
in the estate agents bracket.
For salesmen, for whatever the case may be, for annoying people. We have got a bit of a bad name in the world of work. And it's just becoming even more challenging now.
Going back on your point there, I think we've got a bad name, and it's changed a little bit, and I've seen that just through working yourself. Back in the day, you used to get recruiters coming in on 12, 13 grand, and it wasn't a lot of money even back then, and you're just throwing bleep at the wall and trying to fill these bookings without fully understanding. And From working with you guys, and particularly the stuff we've been doing recently, and going down and filming and showing for your internal videos at no cost to the client, you're showing exactly what they're walking into. Mm. Whereas before, I think we were renowned for just kind of, putting bums on seats and hoping.
I'll send you the postcode, mate.
Off you go.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll get there for 8 o'clock. God, remember how we used to send people out to work? Have you got a pen and paper? That was what it was, wasn't it? We weren't even allowed to text.
No.
Have you got a pen and paper? Write this down. Right, you go into DHL, got to be there at 8 o'clock. You're reporting to Jamie. But people went to work as well. How we got people to work back in them days. I could tell you some great stories. I'm sure you could too, Kev. Payphones, Friday nights. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's not. We've done that in other podcasts.
But no, it's changed now, but you have to pay for the right people. And if I was coming to join your company as a consultant, being a normal, driven, want a career out of it, you've got to pay for that, and that money's got to come from somewhere. And if you're not, then where, and you're, the rates are super low on all your clients, for example, where's the money coming? It's just unsustainable, I think.
Where's it being passed around from? So hopefully the podcast can give some insights, can give some assurances, can put some real good bums on the seat opposite me there. We've got some real good guests coming on. clients, prospective clients, thought leaders, people in HR, people in the logistics sector, drivers, working for big companies, you know, smaller companies even. There's some real good people coming on, and we're just trying to give a little bit back to the industry, a little bit back to our viewers, a bit of an insight into us here at Beer Recruitment and the type of business we are. And yeah, just have a bit of a different spin on what's going on within the industry, rather than us all just sitting behind our doors in our offices and just cracking on.
ChatGPT, isn't it?
ChatGPT, yeah. So yeah, so thank you.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with it all. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope it all goes well.
Thanks. Well, that was our anniversary special on our Beyond Recruitment podcast. You can watch this episode on LinkedIn, on our Beyond Recruitment page, on Amazon, on Apple, on YouTube, and on Spotify. Please follow us for more engaging content, and we'll see you around for our first official episode soon.